Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
On this April 2nd edition of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch podcast, we have some great Hall of Fame birthdays coming up, both old and new, and they're all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from the Pigpen on America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Gene and Mike Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the great tunes, let's go no huddle through today's top stories of American football history.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and we have, just like we said at the beginning, the April 2nd edition of the podcast. It is filled with Hall of Famers and their birthdays, and there's a lot of gentlemen from the College Football Hall of Fame from the older eras that we can really appreciate today. But before we get to that, I just want to tell you a little story from my past. A couple years ago, my phone was ringing like crazy. I pulled it out of my pocket, take a look at it, and it's my mother, who lives on the other side of the country from me. She started to have a conversation by saying she had some big news. My mother, I've always known her. She's always been a worker, been a hustler, sometimes worked, a couple different jobs to put food on the table for the family and pay the rent and everything. And she always worked real hard and gave us that work ethic. She had her own business for a while. The building burned down in a fire. Just a tragedy, but she'd always pick herself back up and recover and do some great things. Well, she had took a job on the other side of the country, like I said, and she was calling me to give me some big news, and she was years past her retirement age. And so I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, she's going to tell me that she's retiring. Well, she started off by saying, yeah, hey, I'm ending my career with the company I'm working with, and so I'm waiting for the whole retirement thing. She goes, but I'm moving from Arizona to Texas. And I said, wow, that's kind of weird. Why are you doing that? She goes, because I'm getting a job with a new company and I'm starting a new career doing a little bit different thing than I was before. And like I said, she was well beyond retirement age. And it just made me realize that weaved into her fabric, both mentally and socially, that she just flat out enjoys what she does. She loves going to a job and having a purpose to do that job. I had trouble understanding that because I even told her a couple times, hey, you're not working for your retirement. You're working for my retirement and my brother's retirement. But, she always laughed it off and everything. But it just really made me realize that isn't that really what retirement's for? It's just to have the time to do the things that make you feel fulfilled and be with people you enjoy. And not that she doesn't enjoy being with her family, but she really enjoys working and being with coworkers and having a purpose to get up to every morning. And maybe that's just that special thing. And so far, she loves it, and she's been doing it for a few years now since her big move, and she just loves it. So that just goes to show you, perception's not always what it is. Just like our first player we're going to be talking about, perception's not always what you think it is. Can't judge a book by its cover. Because this player was born April 2nd, 1871 in Clifton, New Jersey. He's the great tackle of Harvard University from 1890 to 1893. Marshall Newell was born. Marshall, according to his bio on the Football Foundation's website, says that he was a gentle and compassionate man. As a matter of fact, his players around him, they called him Ma. M.A., because he often took lonely, confused underclassmen under his wing and helped them adjust to the college life when they were away from their homes. Okay, sounds like a pretty nice guy. But on the football field, he morphed into a fierce opponent. His leg strength and drive, as well as his passion to complete his tasks, were seldom paralleled by anybody on the field. The man had an iron grip as well as he seldom could a runner escape once he had his bear trap hands clasped on him. He wasn't great size in standing because he's only 5'7", weighed 168 pounds. But his other traits, you know, just that raw drive power and a vice-like grip of his hands, it ended up making him be selected as an All-American player 4 straight years. And back in that era, Walter Camp was a guy that selected. And remember, Walter Camp wasn't a Harvard guy. He was a Yale guy. So this Marshall Newell had to be very, very impressive on the football field. The National Football Foundation selected Marshall Newell for entrance to the College Football Hall of Fame in 1957. April 2nd, 1880 comes our next birthday, Oyster Bay, New York. Harold Weeks, Columbia University's halfback from 1899 to 1902, arrived to celebrate his birth. The NFF says that Weeks was like a bullet. He took part in every very dangerous play, and one of those was called the Flying Hurdle. And according to his bio from the NFF, Weeks would get on the shoulders of his offensive teammates, and they would launch or hurl him catapult style headlong across the line of scrimmage, over top of the defenders who were sitting there waiting to try to tackle him, and he'd land on his feet and then streak down the field away from the stunned defenders. I mean, can you imagine seeing that? And today it's very illegal, of course. You can't aid a runner like that, but man, that had to be something to see. That had to put defenders in shock to see something like that when it was attempted. And Harold was often credited with long gainers, such like in his freshman season of 1899, he broke away from the pack and streaked 55 yards to a touchdown that proved to be the winning points in a 5-0 upset of previously unbeaten Yale. It was Columbia's first win over the Yale team in 18 seasons of play. And Weeks befuddled opposing defenses for 3 more seasons, earning All-American honors in each one. And Walter Camp also claimed Weeks as the most powerful and fast and a certain burst of speed at just the right moment. And Harold Weeks was honored with being his All-American status from Walter Camp, too, after that statement. And Weeks was also honored with induction in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1954 after the National Football Foundation tallied their votes for him. Our next birthday is April 2nd, 1910. And on that day, Arnie Erber, the outstanding early quarterback of the Green Bay Packers franchise, was born. The website Packers.com shares that Arnie was a Green Bay native who joined the Packers only 2 years after graduating from Green Bay West High School. Erber eventually developed into pro football's first great long passer. He was also part of the game's first famous passing combination, Erber to Hudson. That's Don Hudson, remember? And it's interesting how the Herbert-Don Hudson combination started. It was unleashed like gangbusters on September 22, 1935, in a 7-0 victory over the Chicago Bears, their most heated rivals. On the first play from scrimmage, Herbert hit Hudson, a rookie playing in just his second game, on an 83-yard bomb to account for the game's only touchdown. He's credited with being the first NFL thrower to pass for more than 1,000 yards in a season when he racked up 1,239 yards in 1936 seasons alone. And Erber was the leader of the offense on the Green Bay Championship teams of 1932, 1934, and 1936, that special season for him. And Arnie was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1972. April 2nd, 1917, Detroit, Michigan. The great Stanford Cardinal halfback of 1938 to 1940, Hugh Gallarneau, was born. His friends called him Duke, and he was a very well-rounded athlete according to the footballfoundation.org, but he never played football until he attended Stanford. Yeah, he didn't play in high school. He was a two-sport star in high school at some other sports, never played football. So the first 2 seasons that Hugh played for Stanford team, that suffered through some terrible losing seasons, but all that changed in 1940. A new head coach, Clark Shaughnessy, joined the team and brought with him the powerful T-formation offense. Stanford went 10-0 in 1940, and Gallarneau was a co-captain, and he was selected as an All-American halfback. Gallarneau scored 2 touchdowns on a 10-yard run and a 40-yard pass reception to aid Stanford in defeating Nebraska 21-13 in the Rose Bowl that year in 1940. Hugh Gallarneau received the great honor of being selected for inclusion in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1982. Gallarneau played with the Chicago Bears from 1941 to 1942. Then he joined the Marines in World War II and rose to the rank of major. He was in 7 island invasions by the Marines in the Pacific Theater, and then he rejoined the Bears from 1945 to 1947. So what a hero, both on the football field, but really in that serving his country and doing some great, brave things with the Marines in that Pacific Theater. You know, going 7 island invasions, that takes some real bravery there. That's a hero. April 2nd, 1930, San Diego, California. Another Stanford player, Bill McCall, arrived in his life, and he later went on to play end for the Cardinal football team from 1949 to 1951. Bill is described as being one of the top gridiron players ever to put on a Cardinal uniform, as he finished 4th in the Heisman vote in 1941 and then signed a contract with the Chicago Bears so that he could pay his way through graduate school while attending the University of Chicago to train to become a doctor. Bill McCall was honored with induction in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1973 after the National Football Foundation tallied their votes. He became an orthopedic surgeon and then soon decided to leave the comfort of the United States and serve as a missionary physician in Korea, serving the country's leper and deformed children. So, I mean, he used football as a means to become a doctor, then left the game of pro football where he could make, you know, some decent money and play a game he loved to... and left, you know, being a doctor in the United States and making some money, and went over there and used his talents and his skills that he learned to serve some young folks that needed him over in Korea, in a country that was really suffering at the time. That's another real hero there, folks. April 2nd, 1947, Chicago, Illinois. Arizona State's running back Ron Pritchard was born. Ron led the Sun Devils in tackles and interceptions in the season of 1968 and earned the team's MVP award. The National Football Foundation selected Ron Pritchard for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2003. He was the 15th player selected in the 1969 NFL Draft by the Houston Oilers. His 9-year pro career with the Oilers and the Cincinnati Bengals was cut short by a serious knee injury that made him leave the game. That's a sad state of affairs there, but still a great player when he played. April 2nd, 1965, Brooklyn, New York. The great Syracuse quarterback Don McPherson arrived into this life. According to the National Football Foundation, McPherson won over 18 National Players of the Year honors during his collegiate career. McPherson's many honors included the Davey O'Brien National Quarterback Award, the Maxwell Player of the Year, and the inaugural Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award. He also garnered the unanimous first-team All-American laurels and finished second in the 1987 Heisman balloting. Don McPherson received the great honor of being selected for inclusion in the College Football Hall of Fame in 2008. And after that college, he played for 4 years in the NFL, 3 seasons in the Canadian Football League, and he later founded the Sports Leadership Institute at Adelphi University and created the John Mackey Award, which annually recognizes college football's most outstanding tight end. And we still see that award today. So great job by Don McPherson. Never gave up. Played in 2 different pro leagues and had an outstanding college career, as well as all of our other Hall of Famers who had birthdays today. We salute all of them. And we salute you and thank you for joining us here each and every day on the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch. We really appreciate your company and glad that you join us each day and help us with things, keeping that football history alive and preserving it. Make sure to find out some more great sports history. Join us on the Sports History Network, because we have some great partners over there that talk about sports history of all genres of sports, and it's really enjoyable and all eras, and you really learn a lot there. I know I do every day when I listen to my partners over there. And you can also find us on our own website, pigskindispatch.com. We have every single podcast posted there. You can check it out day by day. Or if you go to pigskindispatch.com/podcast, you'll see all of our podcasts in one place if you want to catch up on some of that listening to get that great football history and that football side of your brain activated on the history. So we enjoy you. We appreciate you. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.